Hi, welcome to the Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy podcast. I'm Nicole Hamilton, and this is episode number one. Today we're going to talk about one of our local amphibians, the gray tree frog. And then after that, we'll wrap up with a quick recap of some upcoming programs and events. So, why the gray tree frog? Well, here in Waterford, Virginia tonight, we have a nice light drizzling rain, and the gray tree frogs have made their way out of the forest and down towards our little backyard pond, and they are just out in force doing their coursing, so I thought it'd be a great chance to introduce you to them. In terms of the gray tree frog and what they look like, they're actually quite small compared to what their large voice seems to sound like. They're only about 2.5 inches long, and they are indeed gray. And a great identifier for them is that they have a little white rectangle patch under each eye. So when you see one, look underneath the eye and see if you see that little rectangle. That's probably the best diagnostic for knowing that you have a gray tree frog. The males can be identified by having gray or black throats, while the females have light or white throats. So if you are able to find one, they're awfully camouflaged, but if you do come across one, take a look and see. You might be able to tell if you have a male or a female. The other interesting thing is that as I'm sitting here now and you hear all of these frogs calling around me, these are all males. Only the males vocalize. The females are actually silent. So that's an interesting little thing as you're listening and observing sometimes. The females are out there, but they're just being quiet. And the males are declaring their territory, trying to impress their girls and that sort of thing. So that's who you're hearing. The other interesting thing with the gray tree frogs is that if you are able to look at them up close, take a look at their toes. They have large, rounded toe discs, and this is what helps them climb the trees. As they have to grab onto the bark and the branches, these rounded toe discs help them get a good grip. And you can also tell when they're sitting on a reed or in cattails, how they're using these toe grips for really getting a good grip on where they're at as well. Now tomorrow, I bet if I go out into our little backyard pond, there's going to be some egg masses. And what I'll be looking for there is some small globular clusters of, a few of the eggs in each cluster. So they make these egg masses and they put them either on vegetation or at the side of the ponds, places like that. So I'll be taking a look at that tomorrow morning. The eggs themselves are light colored. They're gray above and they're white below. And they'll hatch in about 2 to 5 days. So I'll have to get out there and take a look tomorrow morning and maybe take some pictures if I want to get some good views of the eggs themselves. And then within about 30 to 60 days, the tadpoles will actually grow up into little froglets. And the froglets will be bright green in color. And I assume this is because the vegetation around the ponds is such bright green, and this helps them stay camouflaged. So as they grow up and leave the wateriness of the pond, they'll be bright green, and eventually as they get older, they'll take on that grayish camouflage color that the adults have. So some neat things about the gray tree frogs. Some other interesting things is that they're very terrestrial. Being gray tree frogs, they live most of their lives in the forest. During the winter, they'll live under leaf litter or in the burrows of some mammals or under rocks or in crevices and places like that. As springtime starts up, they'll be silent for a little while as they move from these wintering spots into the trees and establishing their territories. And then they'll start to call. and that's how they establish where they are and who else is around and what their territory looks like. After that, they'll start to move to the ponds, and we actually have in our little backyard pond some tadpoles from an earlier time in the season when they came out and they did their breeding and had one of their big nights. So they'll have a couple of big night events throughout the summer, and they'll do their breeding. And then as the fall starts up, they'll go back to the woods and will remain there really for the rest of the year. So they're actually only at the ponds themselves for a couple of days each season. Even through the summertime, I notice that unless there's one of these big rains, they'll be calling from the woods, and then when there's a nice rain, they'll come down from the woods and traverse the many difficulties of getting from the woods to the pond, getting through some of our gardens and our thickets and things like that. And then they'll spend some time at the pond and then leave the next morning or that night. So they spend most of their time really just in the forest, and they'll stay high up in the trees or in tree crevices or cavities. And I've even found them in some of our bluebird nest boxes taking a rest for the day. So that's kind of neat. Some other interesting facts about the gray tree frog. One is that in the winter time, they will, if it gets too cold, they will transform some of their body fluids into an antifreeze of sorts. And this helps them get through some of the coldest parts of the winter so that they can survive it. In terms of how long they live, that's actually, their lifespan is unknown. However, it is known that they reach sexual maturity in 2 years. So the ones that are here at the pond tonight, who are actually doing the breeding, are at least 2 years old. So that's kind of interesting to know. I guess that's about all of the big information that I have for you tonight on the gray tree frog. They do enjoy eating all sorts of insects, so if you happen to leave a light on or, find, have some spots where there are a lot of insects, you might have some gray tree frogs helping to keep those guys in check. So they definitely play their role in the ecosystem, doing all of that as well. So I will let you listen for a minute to the great chorus here, and then we'll talk a little bit about some of our upcoming programs and events. Okay, so coming up this Saturday, July 19th, from 10:30 to noon, we have butterflies and dragonflies at Claudemore Park. Mona Miller, who is phenomenal with the butterflies, and Andy Rabin, who is just a whiz at the dragonflies, will be leading that trip, and they'll be going to the great variety of spots over at Claudemore to look for the different butterflies and dragonflies. There are some nice ponds and streams and fields and forests, so they'll be looking in all these different areas to see all the different species that they can. So that should be a lot of fun. And all ages are welcome. So kids, adults, you name it, everybody's welcome. On Monday, July 21st at 8:30, we have the continuation of our habitat restoration project at the Phillips Farm. This event is going to be the removal of the invasive plant, Mile a Minute, and this will help us with an area where this last spring that we planted some trees for a forest buffer. The Mile a Minute is starting to move in, so we're trying to do a removal of that to help keep that at bay and let the forest buffer start to grow up. And then on Tuesday, July 22nd, we have the LWC Book Club. And for that, that's 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock at Rest Nature Sanctuary. And we'll be talking about the book, The Virginia Naturalist by John Trott. It's a great book that has over 200 articles written by John Trott when he was writing for some of the local newspapers. And so the information in the book is all very local and very relevant to our local wildlife and habitat. So it's a pretty neat book. Even if you can't come up for the book club, I definitely recommend it. It's a great book to have on the bookshelf and just a really fun read. But do come up for the book club if you can. We'd love to have you. The contact information, if you have questions for any of these events, can be found on the website, on the calendar pages. Just click on programs and field trips, and you'll see the different people listed if you have any questions. So I guess that's about all the news for tonight. I hope you enjoy this recording and learning a little bit about the gray tree frog and hearing their chorus. I'm going to... I guess just sign off now. Hope you enjoyed it, and I'll leave you with a little bit of recording to listen to of the gray tree frog. So thanks for listening, and see you along the trails.